10 a.m. hour of Wilde and Tapp. It's good to be alive right about now. As the Bucks advance to the Eastern Conference Finals, where they will have home court advantage against the Atlanta Hawks, who emerged with a win on the road at Philadelphia, knocking out the number one seed. As neither number one seed reaches the conference finals in the NBA. We're going to play a little Need It or Don't Need It, Bucks related, with an Aaron Rodgers question mixed in there.
Gotta talk A-Rod. Gotta.
What you also gotta do is take advantage right now of Fleet Farm's Military Appreciation Sale. 10% military discount going on now. For veterans and active military members, you can save that extra 10% off your in-store purchase. Head in and save today. Plus, get your gear ready. 4th of July weekend is going to be here before you know it. You want your grills, your coolers, your yard games, your snacks, your fireworks, and more. And this is the last week, although I got to be honest, I don't think you should even bother to enter. Because I'm winning this truck, so I can now do my outside yard pickups at Fleet Farm. So I'm going to win, but you can still enter. And it's very easy to enter because all you got to do is sign up for Fleet Farm Rewards, which you should do anyway to save big on the things you already purchased from Fleet Farm. But now this is your last week for all Fleet Rewards members who are automatically entered for a chance to win that 2021 Ram 1500 Big Horn Crew Cab 4x4 truck. Which I'm probably not going to win, let's be honest. Get details at fleetfarm.com/sweepstakes. Fleet Farm, proudly serving the Midwest since 1955. Let's play Need It or Don't Need It.
Need It? I guess you're just what I need. That's what I need. Or Don't Need It. Presented by Fleet Farm. Remember, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, then you don't need it. Fleet Farm, serving the Midwest since 1955.
You know, it's going to look really fishy if you do end up winning the contest over at Fleet Farm.
I'm not going to win the contest. I don't think I'm eligible. I am a Fleet Rewards member, but I'm not.
What is that, a cowbell? Why were you just shrugging, like, when the Fleet Farm?
Because that's a shorter version of the Open. What happened to the song? You need me and I don't need you.
He added a little cowbell to it, too.
We changed this, like, a month ago.
Yeah, what are you doing?
We've played the game, like, three times since then.
Too many days off you've been taking. You're opposite of Bill Belichick. No days off, all days off. That's what we're hearing.
Need it or don't need it.
Okay, feels like we should move ahead with the game, so let's do that. Drew Holiday was 5 of 23 shooting in Game 7, but he came up with the clutch buckets down the stretch, plus the defense, some of the intangible things that can't necessarily be measured. Definitely one of these signs for what makes this team feel a little different than years past. Need it or don't need it, Drew Holiday needs to be considered one of the best offseason acquisitions in Wisconsin sports history.
No, come on. Not yet. This team's got to get over the hump. They win a chip, we can start having that conversation. We're halfway home. It was a big monumental win, but I have to admit, most of the game, I was not happy with Drew Holiday. I was, and I'm sure I'm like a lot of Bucks fans, what the heck is going on out here? Because he obviously replacing Bledsoe and, you know, kind of filling that role, he's been better. He is a fantastic defender, but you got to make shots. He's got to be able to hit shots. And he struggled, but you love the fact that he stuck with it. And he buries the big three. He does a couple other things. That's what we needed. And he was able to get it done. But as far as putting him in the best acquisition in Wisconsin sports history, come on, Jesse. Come on.
He has been an incredibly valuable addition, but he did not. I would defer to Eric Name and Justin Garcia, but I don't think you would say he had a good series at all, would you?
No, he struggled.
Like, he did not play well, and that was one of the reasons why there were reasons for concern about this team. But he came through when it mattered. But let's, we were also, I believe, while Tausch was out, because Tausch takes only the number of days off that he certainly deserves with how hard he works.
Sure.
We had Greg Matzik in as our cousin sub of the day. We spent a large portion of a show talking about when the Bucks advanced. We said if, but it was really, there was a presumption of advancement. And we spent a lot of time talking about an asterisk. A lot. And then they went out and lost game five. There was no more talk about asterisks. So let's hold off on Drew Holiday, who is a fantastic humanitarian, a likable fellow, it would appear, and came through when it mattered. But he needs to play better in this series than he did in the Nets series. I think even Drew Holiday would acknowledge that.
What's that? Need it or don't need it.
I'll tell you this. If you were axe throwing on Saturday night and only caught the last 5 minutes of regulation and overtime, Drew Holiday had a great game. He was fantastic. Mike Budenholzer needs to be retained as the head coach of the Bucks for next season, no matter what happens in the Eastern Conference Finals.
No.
Need it or don't need it, Tausch?
Don't need it. This is now... There are a lot of questions coming into the season. In this series, if that shot, if KD's foot's behind the line, I think we're probably talking about the Bucks looking for a new coach today. That's what I think is happening. And that's how crazy and tough and game of inches sports are. He's got to get this thing done.
True.
And then, yeah, obviously, I think getting to the finals probably keeps him. If they don't get it done against the Atlanta Hawks, I wouldn't be shocked if there was a move being made still, because the expectations are high. They're really high now. And for as much as we heard KD complimenting what the Milwaukee Bucks did, they made some adjustments. That's what we're talking about. So here we go. Now let's get it done. And if you don't, there's still going to be questions and there will be moves made, because when you have the best team left in the playoffs, which I believe the Milwaukee Bucks do, you got to get over the hump. Now let's see if they can do it.
So, is that... I agree with everything you said. Is that wrong? Because we're basing it on results, right? Obviously. And do we think the results are different if the Nets are at full strength? Let's say they advance to the finals and they face the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard.
Yep.
Now, whether they win or lose, obviously you're not going to get rid of a coach because you won a title. I get it. But we are basing this on, like you just mentioned, KD wearing a shoe size one size too big. That's the difference between them winning and losing the series. So either you believe in Bud or you don't believe in Bud. And if you believe in him, the outcome of the series shouldn't matter either way.
Now, you don't understand that then, because the belief also comes from having the results back up your belief. You can believe all day that you're 6'7" and a handsome dude, and you're going to end up, sometimes you're going to be like, well, no, you're not. That's just not where you're at. It has to have results backing up what you're doing in order to continue to have the confidence in your team. The other thing is, and I don't know if you're going to get to this, need it or don't need it, am I crazy or is Doc Rivers uber overrated? Like, uber overrated. I know he's a Marquette guy. I get that. But Clippers all of a sudden get to their first conference champ. He leaves. He's got those great Celtics teams. He gets one championship. Like, he's supposed to be like this guru. I don't know, Jim. I don't know. I think we might be overhyping Doc a little bit. That's all I'm saying.
Need it or don't need it.
By the way, don't forget the name Barry Trotz
was Trotzker,
the head coach of the Washington Capitals. They won the Stanley Cup, and he was not brought back the following year. So that was a case of a coach winning a championship and still didn't come back after his contract.
Well, it happened to Phil Jackson. It happens a lot, Jesse. It's not like an outlier.
Aaron Rodgers needs to be in attendance for either Game 1 or Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals at Fiserv Forum.
No, he needs to be prepped for this matchup because his boy DeChambeau stunk yesterday, the back nine. Had the lead, and he stunk. He needs to get his game right. And then he needs to go down when it's the Milwaukee Bucks, Phoenix Suns. That's where he's going to go to the game.
He doesn't have to golf at 7:30 at night, Tosh. He could golf during the day, go to the game, and then golf again the next morning. Go play Aaron Hills to get ready, maybe. Go play.
Why wouldn't he play Lock LaBelle? Like, I think he'd go to Lock LaBelle.
Lock LaBelle, he could go play.
Yeah, I'll go take him down there. And we'll, you know, Will, you come with us.
You get the setup, Tosh.
And I still feel like you're not breaking 200 at Lock LaBelle. And there's not that much water out there. You're not breaking 200 at Lock LaBelle either.
I don't want to play golf with you. I would say this.
Are you mad,
I think he
bro?
Does need to come.
You mad, bro, because I took that little pot shot about you taking days off? It was a joke, Jason.
I am.
Yeah,
I am.
I can see it.
Yeah, but you know, it's not like I took the day off and like went to the park. I would say this.
Just wait a second. Jesse is going to video this. We're going to Lock LaBelle. And I'm going to put some money on the line charity-wise. We're counting every shot. We're going to have a rules official with us. You got to play it straight up. Every ball has to be putted. You ain't breaking 200. If you do, I will make a nice donation to a charity of your choice.
The Human Fund.
Are you in?
No, I'm not in.
Why?
I would...
Why?
If you could get Rodgers to play, then I'll go.
I'm not getting
And you
Rogers
guys can make fun of me the whole time.
Yeah,
well, are you in? Are you in or are you not in?
Okay, if you get Christy Brinkley to be our cart girl, then we'll play. Come on.
Well, first of all, I think given the history of this show, Cindy Crawford would be the selection so we can make up for
not after
literally
that interview,
the worst interview in our history.
Christy Brinkley's next. That's who we're going to get next.
I think he should come. I think it would be great. And if he really doesn't care about how people are reacting to him, I think it would be phenomenal for him to be there because I want to see when he's there, how do people react? It's easy to say you would boo him when you're answering a poll question on Wilde and Tausch. Not quite so easy when he's in the house at Fiserv Forum.
Let me tell you something. He's going to get booed. It ain't going to be over 50%, but there's going to be more than a smattering of boos if he's there.
I need it. I definitely need it, is my answer on that one. We're going to talk to... Maybe Eric Name knows if he's going to come. Eric Name covers the Bucks. He's got some inside info. Matt LaFleur was there at the game.
He was in Brooklyn.
LaFleur's? No, he wasn't in Brooklyn. I'm talking about Game 6.
No, LaFleur, I believe, was in Brooklyn this for the game Saturday, too.
We got LaFleur as a Bucks fan.
I'm pretty sure...
Wait,
I'm
LaFleur
sure
was at
was
the
Brooklyn.
Game on... No.
I saw a video... Check Twitter. He was in Brooklyn. I'm 90% sure.
All right. We'll fact check Tausch. I do believe Eric Name was in Brooklyn. I feel much more confident in that proclamation. And our buddy Eric Name from The Athletic scheduled to appear next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
We worked extremely hard our whole life for this moment.
The Bucks don't stop me.
Pass, leads to the rim, scoops off the glass and one.
I've been in this league long enough to know that sometimes you're going to hit him and sometimes you're not. You can't be timid, especially in a game seven.
Holiday puts his head down, steps left, shoots for three, and crushed it.
You got to give credit to the Milwaukee Bucks. They're a great, great team. We got a good chance to win a championship.
Durant dribbles the top of the arc, spins, throws up a long two, got it! He's tied the game!
Chris Middleton's a big reason why, you know, we're here today talking in front of a game seven.
He's an incredible shooter.
Middleton to the top of the key, pivots, shoots the fader off the broken line and scores!
Do you think that this Bucks team, the way it is now, do you think that this team is capable of winning a title?
Durant takes it from Harden, front court right.
You know, KD would kill those guys.
Two to tie, three to win.
They gotta be the dumbest team.
Durant rises for a long two, air ball!
It's a great step for our organization. It's a great step for us.
I think the Milwaukee Bucks are going to win the world championship.
Respect the Milwaukee Bucks. We got nothing to respect for this ball club.
I really do.
We are built for this.
Johnny Montage. Nice work. God, I love this song. Are we going to start using it for name, too? Just any Bucks expert that joins us? Because it's right now, it's just Justin Garcia's walk-up music.
I mean, it's good enough. It could be universal.
Maybe name wants, who's going to win it? The Bucks. Let's find out from him. You read him at The Athletic. You hear him on our airwaves from time to time. And he is getting ready to cover the Eastern Conference Finals 20 years after I covered it. Almost was Philadelphia and Milwaukee again, too. It is our friend Eric Name from The Athletic. Eric, what do you want for your walk-up music?
I don't worry about those things. You guys worry about those things.
Yeah. Tell them.
Cool. Also, before we get started with Eric, Matt LaFleur, like Eric Name, was in Brooklyn. I was wrong. I found that hard to believe. That would explain why he missed his kids' soccer games.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Maybe he went to those two. Maybe he went to those and then had a private jet waiting. Maybe. Oh, that could be true, too. Or maybe they didn't play. Maybe they all went together.
What would you rather do?
But I did not see him at soccer.
Would you rather go to your kid's soccer game, regular season soccer game, or game 7 Bucks in Brooklyn?
It was the regular season finale. It was the end of the regular season for soccer. And maybe he went. I don't know. Obviously, I didn't know he was in Brooklyn. God. So who am I to say whether he was at soccer games or not? But he was definitely at game 7 with apparently Robert Saleh, the new coach of the Jets, his longtime friend. And I believe groomsman in his wedding. All right, Eric. I didn't realize that KD wears a shoe size one size larger than he needs. Jesse enlightened me to that. If he's not wearing those shoes, what's the conversation you and I are having today here on this program?
I might not be available for an interview today because I'm working on trying to figure out exactly whether or not Mike Budenholzer is still the Milwaukee Bucks head coach, and if he isn't, who the new coach might be.
A game of inches. Your overarching thoughts when you factor in the injuries that obviously Brooklyn had, the struggles early in the game for two of the Bucks' big studs, and yet they find a way to win. I saw a lot of folks that have watched a lot of basketball from the Bucks say that this was the most grit and guts that they've seen the Bucks show. What was your takeaway?
Yeah, the word that just kept coming up was resilience, right? Like, that was the story I wrote yesterday at The Athletic, and it's really all I can think about because you have literally an entire roster. And the Bucks only go 7 deep. You have an entire roster of guys that screwed up at some point in that game. Like it didn't matter which person you picked. If you picked Giannis, he airballed a couple free throws. If you picked Chris Middleton, he missed a bunch of shots at the start of the game. If you picked Drew Holiday, he missed a bunch of shots at the start of the game, the third quarter, the start of the fourth quarter. If you picked Brooke Lopez, he has the ball with 2.1 seconds left on the shot clock, admits to us after the game that he thought the shot clock was off and it was only the game clock with 8.1 seconds left and doesn't take a shot. Pat Connaughton airballs some free throws. P.J. Tucker fouls out. Like, everyone that was on the floor made a large mistake at some point. And yet, at the end, the Bucks don't score for 3.5 minutes in overtime. Then they give it to Giannis on the block, who, in a similar situation in Game 5, in a spot where the team was tied at 104 in Game 5, decides to take a fadeaway jumper on James Harden and misses it, and the Nets go on to win that game. In a similar situation this time, he gets to the middle of the floor, gets to a hook shot, throws it in. Then on the other end, Brooke Lopez flies out of nowhere to block a Kevin Durant layup in the most unusual form we've ever seen Brooke Lopez. Normally, Brooke Lopez just stands by the rim and swats shots. Like, he runs from across the floor, chases down Kevin Durant and blocks a shot. And then they run middle pick and roll for Chris Middleton. He hits a little mid-range jumper, and they go out and get the lead and win this game in overtime. And that's just a bunch of guys being able to play through mistakes. And largely, I mean, some of that is game seven. Game sevens will always be ugly. There's always going to be that kind of moment where you're really going to have a gut check. But up and down the roster, all those guys had it, went through it, and came through at the end. And it was one of the more incredible games I think I've ever covered in my life.
Eric, we heard Kevin Durant have a lot of nice things to say about the Bucks and the coaches and some of the adjustments they made. What kind of adjustments did you see over the course of this series that maybe we hadn't seen in the past, or why Milwaukee was able to, you know, you said the resiliency, but maybe just from a strategic standpoint, what did the Bucks do differently as the series progressed?
I mean, the big thing is literally just looking at the box score, right? The Bucks go, I mean, they play eight in game seven, but Giannis Antetokounmpo was in for less than 30 seconds. Bryn Forbes was in for 5 minutes. So essentially they go with a six-man rotation. Giannis plays 50 minutes. Chris Middleton plays 52. And Drew Holiday plays 48. You know, if we go back 2 years ago to the Eastern Conference Finals, after game six of that series, Giannis played 42 minutes in game six. Do or die. Need it. And after the game, my first question to Mike Boonholzer was, why didn't Giannis play more?
Right, like, I remember that.
Kawhi played almost 48. Why did he play 42? And we've done this dance over and over again in series. Giannis doesn't play that much. I asked Bud why he doesn't play more. Giannis doesn't play that much. I asked Bud why he doesn't play more. And we've done it. And now in this moment, we saw him finally just let Giannis loose and playing for all these minutes, and that goes for Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday. This is the first time in the playoffs we've seen Bud really say, all right, everyone can go out there and play, and you guys, I'm not going to take you out of the game. You guys got to go out and get it done. They didn't quite go 53 minutes like Kevin Durant and James Harden, but still, this is a pretty sizable step from Mike Budenholzer. So that was big. And then I think when you look at on-court adjustments throughout the series, the ones that really stick out are kind of how the Bucks covered Bruce Brown. And Bruce Brown is this strange kind of 6'4 guard turned center who just sets a bunch of screens for Kevin Durant and James Harden, rolls to the basket, and just kind of blows up your defense. And they kind of moved matchups around on him. They moved the way that they defended him a little bit as the series went on. And then the big adjustment was out at the half, the Bucks are down by six, and Bud, for the first time, puts Giannis on Bruce Brown. And what that does is every time he sets a ball screen to start a pick and roll, James Harden gets switched to Giannis. So Giannis has James Harden. Okay, let's go run one with Kevin Durant. All right, Giannis has switched on to Kevin Durant. And the Bucks essentially just took them out of their rhythm for the first 2 minutes and 10 seconds until Steve Nash took time out, go on a 7-0 run, and they're back in the game. At that point, the game is even. The Bucks have made their comeback, and then they're just exchanging blows the rest of the way, and that adjustment ended up being massive for this Bucks team in getting them back in the game and then really messing with the flow of the Nets offense for the rest of the way. And then, obviously, the biggest adjustment throughout the series is just the way that they were willing to cover Kevin Durant. You know, he is Zora Stevenson always makes fun of me because every time I ask a question about Kevin Durant, she says I don't know if you know emojis all that well, but the one with heart eyes, she jokes that every time I ask a question about Kevin Durant, I have the heart eyes emoji face on because I just think he's an incredible basketball player. I've never seen anyone score like this dude. And the Bucks just kind of handled it. And if you listen to P.J. Tucker, if you listen to Drew Holiday, if you listen to Giannis, all of them will tell you that's the greatest score they've ever seen. And to their credit, they threw different looks at him. They tired him out. And then I hate to say this because it sounds incredibly cliche, but at the end, all of that mattered, right? Like, you get an air ball in overtime because he's gone through so much. He had to deal with P.J. Tucker for 38 minutes, and then in the other 15, he has to deal with Chris Middleton and Giannis and Drew Holiday. Like, they essentially wore him out by the end of that game, and then instead of hitting the shot like he did in regulation, he misses it in overtime.
Talking with Eric Name of The Athletic, and I'm told, Eric, that you made the fatal mistake when you joined Wilde and Tausch as a guest. You told Jesse you could stick around for two segments.
I did.
More with Eric, because I want to ask about P.J. Tucker, and I do want to ask a little bit more about Drew Holiday as well. Eric Name from The Athletic. He covers the Bucks better than anyone, and he joins us for a second segment next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch is presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
With Eric Name from The Athletic, as the Bucks advance to the Eastern Conference Finals with a Game 7 win at Brooklyn. Eric, I'm curious because we spent a lot of time talking with, whether it's you or Justin Garcia, about Drew Holiday. And Jesse, how far did you go about Drew Holiday earlier in the show? One of the greatest off-season acquisitions in Wisconsin sports history?
I asked in Need It or Don't Need It, do we need to consider Drew Holiday as one of the best off-season acquisitions in our pro sports histories?
So, Eric, he obviously struggles early, but he hits the three-pointer, I think, with about 2.5 minutes left. The shot clock's winding down. It makes it 104-101. I read your story, as I always do, and he makes a comment about how you can't be timid. I'll tell you what, if I play pickup ball at the Y, I'm timid if I've missed as many shots as he's missed. So what difference has he made in this team? We know that he was acquired to kind of be the difference maker from an Eric Bledsoe point-guarded team that wasn't good enough. How big of a difference has he made, and how do you view what he did in this game?
I think he made a massive difference in the regular season. Like, he is just a higher quality offensive player than Eric Bledsoe, and that has made a big difference. That, you know, when Giannis and Chris get a lot of attention, they're able to dump it over to Drew, and Drew's able to make a play. That was not the case in this series. Drew did not have a good series. Not just Game 7 struggles. We're talking struggles in Games 1 through 6 as well. You know, going into that series, you really thought, man, the Nets are not going to have anybody to cover Drew Holiday. And Kyrie Irving did a nice job in the first three games, and then Bruce Brown did a nice job on him. And he just really never found his rhythm, which I think makes that sequence in the fourth quarter all the more impressive, because it wasn't just a step back three. You know, you look at four possessions in a row. He goes pick and roll with Giannis, gets Giannis the bucket to tie it at 101. Then he comes down, hits a step back three, as you mentioned, to make it go 104-101. Durant gets a bucket, and then Holiday answers with a bucket of his own to make it 106-103. And then on the next offensive possession, he gets free throws as well. So we're talking four possessions in a row. In the biggest moment, after starting the game 2 of 17, he somehow manages to do all of that. And I think when you're trying to figure out, how do I grade that performance, how do I think through how bad it was and then how good it was in the end, I mean, all you can really think about is just his mental fortitude and how we saw Eric Bledsoe react in similar situations in previous postseasons. Bled, for you know, kind of everything that he did for the Bucks and how good he was for the Bucks, in those moments, he shrunk a little bit. He found a way to not want the ball. He wanted to get rid of it. And he wanted to go out and just kind of disappear. He didn't want the ball. And I think that's the major difference, is that Drew Holiday, even though he did struggle, he still won the ball, and he still made those shots. And then on top of it, he's really made a difference defensively. He's a different defender than Eric Bledsoe, who wasn't all NBA defender, but obviously Drew Holiday was as well this year. It's been a massive upgrade for the Bucks, even if it didn't show in that series. I'm really curious what it looks like in the Eastern Conference Finals, because Drew Holiday is going to have Trae Young, and Trae Young has embarrassed two teams in a row now. First the Knicks, then the Sixers, and you're going to have to see what the Bucks can do to him, because it's going to be about Drew Holiday and what he can do, and it's going to be about Brook Lopez and how he can help out and try to make things tough on Trae Young.
Eric, the rotation, obviously, that's one of the adjustments you mentioned, very small. Bobby Portis, a lot of questions as the series was going, why he wasn't getting any play. What do you think moving into the Eastern Conference Finals? Do you think that rotation's going to stay this way? Do you think it lengthens a little bit? Or how do you see that playing out?
I think Bud goes back out to 8 to start this series. I think when I found myself watching Nets Sixers when I wasn't sleeping or writing, when I watched that Sixers-Hawks series, you just kind of saw deeper rotations. You saw a couple of teams that I don't think are as high quality as the Bucks and Nets. So I don't want to say you can get away with playing a deeper rotation, but you can get away with playing a deeper rotation. You don't have to be as focused on only having guys on the floor that aren't going to get destroyed by Kevin Durant. Like, you don't have to think about that against the Hawks. So I think we'll see Bud in the first two games of the series kind of start with an 8-man rotation. Maybe it goes all the way up to 9. I don't think it'll go that far. But I think we see Bobby Portis get back in there. That means instead of seeing Giannis play 43 minutes like he was kind of looking at in 7 and 8 without overtimes, I think you probably see that go back down to around 38 or 40. And that gives Bobby Portis the opportunity. That was the big thing, is that the Bucks essentially decided that the only big men they wanted on the floor were Giannis, Brook, and then P.J. Tucker when they went small with Giannis at center. And that takes out all of Bobby Portis' minutes. So, you know, I took a lot of questions on Twitter from people asking, is Bobby Portis in the doghouse? Did he do something wrong? And overwhelmingly, everything I've heard from people around the team is, no, he didn't. The Bucks just went to a 7-man rotation and 3 bigs, and Bobby Portis was on the outside looking in. So I do think we'll see an 8-man rotation to start this series. And then if they need to chop it down again, obviously you would hope that that is something that Mike Budenholzer would be willing to do, because he did it in that series against the Nets. So you'd hope there's that growth mindset that the Bucks talk so much about, that he would do it again. But yeah, I think to start this series, you see it at least at an 8-man rotation.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, it sounds like this series that just occurred, beating the Nets, that was going to be the toughest challenge to get into the NBA Finals. The expectations have to be as high as they've ever been in Milwaukee. Is that what I'm hearing?
That is correct. I mean, outside of maybe 2 years ago when the Bucks won 60 games, they're plowing through the postseason. I mean, if you look at going up 2-0 against the Raptors in the Eastern Conference Finals, that would be that was the peak of expectations in Milwaukee. I think we're very close to it right now. And if they win the first two of this series, they are higher than that, because the rest of the landscape is just not as strong. There's been a lot of weird stuff with injuries and COVID and all of that that has really made this a Final Four that I think a lot of people would say isn't all that scary. And Vegas agrees. I believe the Bucks are the odds-on title favorites at the moment, with the 4 teams remaining. So, yeah, this is to me, if it isn't the absolute peak, it is even with when the Bucks went up 2-0 against the Raptors in the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago.
All right, Eric, 2 more questions for me before we let you go. Eric Name from The Athletic. He covers the Bucks. You can read his game story from the Bucks win over the, I almost called them the New Jersey, the Brooklyn Nets. The job is not done on The Athletic. Eric, who's going to cover Kevin Huerter? And
you had a red herder.
And can we? I find myself, because Bogdan Bogdanovich is on their roster, wondering if it was a blessing in disguise that he didn't end up here, or if this team would have been better off had he actually ended up here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this series is going to be a lot of talk about Bogdan Bogdanovich. The Bucks would have been better with him. He's a very talented player. We've seen what he can do here in the postseason. He's been ready for a lot of moments, and he's hit some big shots. He's appeared unafraid, even though last night I think he had a Drew Holiday-esque night as well. He's been playing through some injuries, so he's undeniable. He would have made the Bucks better. There's no doubt about that. But you know, this Bucks team was still able to do some different things, and you know, I do find myself wondering, right? Like you gotta go through, if not this, then this, and if that, then this, and if not that, then this. Like, you go through that whole series and sequence of events and what could have happened or what would have happened. And, you know, if you do make the Bogdanovich trade, I don't know that you're able to make the P.J. Tucker trade still. Or
right.
I don't know if you end up making the P.J. Tucker trade. And I think things go a lot differently against the Nets if, instead of P.J. Tucker on Kevin Durant, it's Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday and Giannis against Kevin Durant for the whole series. Like, P.J. Tucker is, we can talk about him more here in a little bit, but he is just an incredible human being, because he takes joy in the most impossible job in the NBA in stopping Kevin Durant. Like, he loves it. So I do find myself wondering, if you do make the Bogdanovich trade, do you have P.J. Tucker? And then do you have to try to outscore the Nets? And as we saw in the series, that probably isn't the best strategy. So I do find myself wondering kind of what happens there. But I do think they'd be a better team with Bogdanovich. And then, you know, as far as matchups go, I think the ones that really matter are going to be with P.J. Tucker in the starting lineup. The Bucks are big, and the Hawks are a smaller team. And against the Nets, it worked that the Bucks were big. It worked that you could put P.J. Tucker on Kevin Durant, and you know, you could put Chris Middleton on Joe Harris, and that bogged things down for the Nets. I do wonder if we see Pat Connaughton play a larger role in this series. The Nets are just big. The Hawks are going to go smaller. Kevin Herter is a smaller guy that you want to chase around screens and do some things like that. So I'm curious what the Bucks try to do with P.J. Tucker, because there is part of me that wonders if that last series was meant for him, if this series is maybe not so much for him, because the Hawks' attack is more based on speed and quickness rather than kind of the brute strength that the Nets can kind of do, and you know, Kevin Durant's shot ability to just get it off over anyone.
Well, you're going to have to come back, not necessarily in the next segment, but come back later in this series and tell us, even if P.J. Tucker's not playing a key role, all the love that you have for P.J. Tucker. I was entertained by his post-game comments after Game 6, and he is. I enjoyed his back and forth with the real MVP, Kevin Durant's mom, in the stands. I know his history with Durant and hosting him on his recruiting visit as well. So that is fun, and I'm curious to hear more about him from you. That means you're going to have to come back later in the series. You okay with that?
Wow, you really conned me into another appearance, huh? Really going to guilt me into one?
Well, I've done such a good job of mentoring you to this point in your career, I think it's the least you can do. Great work during the Eastern Conference semifinals. We look forward to reading you and hearing more from you as the Bucks begin the Eastern Conference Finals against the Atlanta Hawks. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me. See you guys later.
That is the terrific Eric Name. Sometimes Cousin Sub of the Day as well. He's a little busy right now, so Tausch's next day's off. I'm assuming that he won't be available to Cousin Sub, but we'll have to find out. This is a great time to make the switch to Associated Bank. I know that seems like a non sequitur segue there, but I want to remind you, we haven't talked about the Brewers today, but if you're a Brewers fan, there's no better place to be than with Associated Bank. You can get the terrific Brewers Grill Kit. that has Christian Yelich's signature embossed on the burger flipper. And more importantly, you get fantastic customer service. Paula and I have experienced it, and you will as well. Make the switch to Associated Bank. Check out associatedbank.com/brewers or /Packers or /Badgers if you want Badgers checking or Packers checking. More next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
Thanks again to Eric Name for falling for my duplicitous, deceitful trick that now he's going to join us again later in the week. And for his insight into the Bucks' win over the Brooklyn Nets to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. Jesse, apparently you put this victory in the pantheon of great Wisconsin sports victories.
Indeed I have, Jason, and in fact, I would even go as far to say that I have accumulated my Wisconsin sports wins since June 2011 power rankings. Checking in at number 3, the Milwaukee Brewers defeating the Arizona Diamondbacks in Game 5 of the 2011 NLDS. It was a big win for the Brewers, their first playoff series win in 29 seasons. However, they did go on to lose to the St. Louis Cardinals in the next round in a series in which you expected that they would have a great chance not only to win the NLCS, but the World Series. So a disappointing finish, but that was a big win, walk-off fashion in Game 5 of that NLDS. Number 2.
So, Jesse, if I may interrupt briefly, you put that at number 3. I'm eager to find out what number 2 and number 1 are. But when you made this list, I know we only do our power rankings on this program down to 3. But how many did you have on your list that also receiving votes?
4 and 5 I did have. Number 4 was the Packers' 2017 divisional round win over the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Jared Cook with the big catch. And then the Milwaukee Brewers beating the Cubs in game 163 to get the number 1 spot in the National League playoff picture in 2018. That was number 5 on my list. Best wins in the last 10 years since June 2011. Checking in at number 2 is Saturday night's Game 7 Bucks win over the Brooklyn Nets because of what it sets up for the potential for the Bucks for the rest of the playoffs, because of the monkeys on the back that it feels like it erased at least a bit of the stigma that was affiliated with the Bucks and Wisconsin sports in general. Bucks win over the Nets on Saturday night in an all-timer is number 2 of my best Wisconsin sports wins since June 2011. But number 1 remains the Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team defeating Kentucky in the 2015 Final Four. Undefeated Kentucky, juggernaut team. The Badgers back in the Final Four all year, wanted Kentucky, got them in that game. That still remains the best Wisconsin sports win since June 2011. The Bucks have a chance to move ahead of that if they can continue to play over the next 4 weeks or so. That is my list, my best Wisconsin sports wins of the last decade power rankings.
All right, I want to see if Tausch agrees with you, but before that, I do have to ask one other follow-up because that's what I do on this show. If the Bucks, I know you guys already have them written in Sharpie in the NBA Finals over there. If they don't win this series, do you have to remove Game 7 from your list for winning a Eastern Conference semifinal series?
Hmm. Well,
I think you do.
Well,
no,
think
you definitely do. That's why Jesse's a total prisoner of the moment. Listen, it was a big win, and I think it's going to be even bigger because it will spur Milwaukee on into the NBA championship. But Jesse's forgetting the Wisconsin-Kentucky game. Yes, if they had beaten Duke, it would be number one for a long period of time because of all of the ramifications of it. But Jesse forgot one, and it's the Wisconsin women's hockey beating Northeastern in this year's national championship game in overtime with the great shot off the back, winning a championship. Not just, you know, getting there, doing it, winning it, actually doing it. And it's just so recent, that's my number one, but I'm still putting the Wisconsin men's game versus Kentucky, being there, embracing it, it's still in the pantheon. But this Bucks-Nets game, if this leads to a championship, then all of a sudden it climbs that ladder, probably becomes, you know, maybe one or two.
So, Jason, you ask, would I change my rankings? And, I mean, the Badger and Kentucky got them into the championship game, and obviously people think they won the championship that year, as Bo Ryan told us. But you look below that, the Brewers beat the Diamondbacks. That's number three on the list. The Brewers lost in the next round. The Packers beat the Cowboys. They lost in the next round. The Brewers beat the Cubs in game 163. They lost in the NLCS. So the Bucks beating the Nets still might stay at number two because all those other teams didn't get it done in the next round. Even if the Bucks don't, winning this game, knocking out Durant, who had a record night, like, it's still one of the best wins of the last 10 years, no matter what happens next.
Boy, that's a statement on the state of Wisconsin sports, though, that we're all talking about these great wins, but none of them actually led to titles other than Tausch's about the UW women's hockey team.
That would say that you need to dream fearlessly, even if disappointment lurks around the corner. I can't ensure that the Bucks will advance the NBA Finals, but I certainly hope they do.
Yes, you do. And you know what? If they don't, I got another prize that we can take home that's going to be maybe not quite as sweet, but really nice if you're looking for something in your backyard. American Family Insurance launching a slide into home sweepstakes to give one lucky fan their very own Bernie Chalet for their backyard. The renovation of the chalet, revealed in 2021 as part of the American Family Field's new naming rights and an iconic asset tied to the American Family brand. The sweepstakes provides fans the opportunity to bring the iconic asset to their backyard. Fans enter now through Wednesday, June 30th at www.amfam.com/brewers. The sweepstake is open to Wisconsin residents 18 and over. The chalet will also be touring around Wisconsin so fans can see the chalet up close and in person. Locations and times will be all on amfam.com/brewers as well, with tour stops at American Family Field, Milwaukee, in Madison, in Green Bay, and out in some areas in Eau Claire. Fans can enter the sweepstakes at the tour locations or on site at American Family Field in Section 213 inside the stadium. In addition to the grand prize winner receiving their own backyard chalet, 10 second-place winners will get a $500 gift card to the Brewers team store. To enter to win, go to amfam.com/brewers. That's amfam.com/brewers. One entry per person.
The 11 o'clock hour is 2 minutes away. We'll check in on our poll question, plus we'll play some trivia and Wonelli. That's all still ahead in 2 minutes. Stick around.